The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
How are you this afternoon, Rolien Marks?
Well, let's just say my impatience is in overdrive with this lockdown. But before we get into the big stories, I just want to say a special mazel tov to our very own Shira Haas, who has been nominated for a Golden Globe Award for her outstanding performance in the TV show Unorthodox.
Yeah, I can't think of a better, more deserving winner than that, Rolien. She was absolutely superb. And if you haven't seen Unorthodox, please do yourself a favor and go and do so. And now that we've discussed arts and culture, let's get on to the news, Ro.
Let's talk. So let's speak at, let's start at the very beginning, which is a good place to start and look at where we are with the COVID-19 pandemic. And as we speak, we are waiting to hear from the COVID-19 cabinet here in Israel when they will be meeting on starting to ease our lockdown situation. Last night, Prime Minister Netanyahu addressed the nation. He said that we will start lifting the lockdown from next week in various stages. So this meeting that was scheduled to start at 6 p.m. has been scheduled. But hey, where am I going, Simon? My patience is running out. Waiting with bated breath to hear if we will be allowed out pretty soon. But anyway, allowed to start being vaccinated from tomorrow will be any Israeli citizen over the age of 16. We really want to try get as many people vaccinated as possible so that we can start opening up the economy and getting the country back to normal. And earlier today, reported by Walla, one of the news sites here in Hebrew, is the fact that Israel and Greece could be negotiating a travel corridor for anybody who has been vaccinated and does have the green passport. I'm waiting for my second jabby, and then I will be eligible for my green passport. That's how it works. Here, once you have had both the injections, and just a reminder, it isn't mandatory to be vaccinated, but it is recommended. We will be receiving green passports that will allow us to travel, to go to restaurants, which hopefully will be opened very, very soon, and to start resuming normal life. And I have it on good authority from those who are ready to receive this, that the process, just like the vaccination process, is extremely friendly and efficient. But also receiving their vaccines today are health workers in the Palestinian territories who have received a couple of thousand of the vaccines that were earmarked for them, the Israeli vaccines, part of our stock that we have given to Palestinian healthcare workers.
I want to stay on this topic just for one moment, because I've given the Haredim a really hard time, as I think they deserve, for their flouting of rules. But yesterday something else happened. There was an Arab young nursing student who apparently was killed in some event in the town of Tamra. Also, the Arabs, some 10,000 people taking part in that funeral, Rolien.
Well, this is a very, very sad story. A young nursing student who was caught in the crossfire between an organized crime gang and the police yesterday, and she lost her life. But over 10,000 people congregated in the Arab village of Tamra to bury her for her funeral. I think the difference here is that we don't see violence should the police come in to try and break it up within the Arab community. We don't see many members of the Arab community, you know, going out, going into other areas where people could be infected. We don't see the schools open. Just today, a school has been summoned for questioning, has been fined for opening. This is in Bnei Brak, after it has been explicitly made clear not to flout the lockdown laws. I think it was a wedding in Bnei Brak last night. It's just the blatant disregard of the lockdown laws. However, we tend to point fingers at the Haredi community, but it's not just them as well. But very, very angry citizens in Israel that there are those who are showing complete disregard for the law and for our own personal safety and for the safety of each other.
And then kind of a sad reflection of what is happening on the ground, the extent to which the different populations are just on different planets. Apparently Israel having given the Palestinians a certain amount of vaccines for their medical staff and the PA not acknowledging where it's come from.
Well, isn't this interesting? I mean, let's look at what has happened over the last year. We've had incredible cooperation, which I must say, which has been lauded by the United Nations and the special envoy Nikolai Miladinov. And, you know, he spoke about the incredible cooperation on the ground, Israel letting in PPE, training, NGOs like Project Rosanna, making sure that ventilators got through to the territories, Israel sending through trainers into Gaza, specifically Arab trainers as requested, no Jews allowed in Gaza, just a point to remember while there are always fingers pointing at Israel. Then there were those two shipments coming in from the United Arab Emirates refused by the Palestinian Authority because it had been coordinated with Israel and they didn't like the fact that the shipment would land at Ben Gurion, that it would go through Israel, et cetera, et cetera. Then we had the whole libel with regards to the vaccines, Israel being accused of not taking care or of a humanitarian or flouting humanitarian laws by not vaccinating the Palestinians when they explicitly did not ask and said, their health ministry officials saying we do not need or require the help of Israel. We have our own way of procuring the vaccines. It was only after the international media kicked up a fuss that the Palestinians started to say, well, hang on, wait a minute. Israel should be vaccinating us. Now we hand over 5,000 vaccines and nobody wants to acknowledge where that comes from. So we're pretty much damned if we do and damned if we don't. What really irks me, and I think that will probably be the euphemism I'll use for that, but you can fill in the blanks anyway, is that very often in the mainstream media, because Israel and our conflict with our neighbors is such a contentious issue, they will immediately resort to a knee-jerk reaction and assume the worst before checking the situation on the ground. So if there is anybody from some of the other media sources listening to this, you know, we really, really ask. I mean, we don't expect you to sing Hatikva anytime soon, but we really do appeal to you before laying the blame squarely at Israel's feet and rushing to judgment. Please get a sense of the situation on the ground.
You mustn't make me laugh in such serious discussions, Rolene. Let's move on to the Biden administration, where they stand vis-a-vis Israel, who's calling who when.
Okay, well, first of all, I've been involved in a lot of discussions today. People say, yes, but, you know, Joe Biden hasn't called Israel. Everybody calm down. Out of 198 countries, he hasn't called 195. He will be calling Prime Minister Netanyahu soon. No, he did not call the Palestinians. Officials from his administration called the Palestinians. And you know, I think, again, there's such a pervasive fear over the exchange of administrations and people fearing that Biden is, you know, Obama 2.0. Biden is Biden. He's not Obama and he's not Trump. And he will have his own approach. And we've got to be very careful not to confuse a change in approach to a change in policy. The relationship between Israel and the United States is as strong as ever. The relevant people who've needed to speak to their counterparts in defense and security and foreign ministries have done that. That is very, very important, perhaps the most important right now. Biden will call Netanyahu soon. You know, this we can promise you. What we do find extremely reassuring is that, much to the chagrin of people like Human Rights Watch, the Biden administration have come out and said that they embrace and they will champion the IRA definition of anti-Semitism, which also states very, very clearly in that definition that organizations, movements like BDS, who question the legitimacy of the state of Israel to exist and likens anti-Zionism to anti-Semitism, the fact that they want to endorse that, to push that forward, to champion that, the fact that we have a potential ambassador to the United Nations who has said it will be her priority to fight any bias and call BDS's antics anti-Semitic is something tremendously, it's a tremendous sign of the very, very strong ties between the two countries.
Ro, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. We're going to carry over the last story for tomorrow. But as always, thank you so very, very much.
It's a pleasure. And same time, same place tomorrow, my friend.
You got a date.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.